Beautiful. Kenny G. Ooh. Kenny, how are you today?
Hey, I'm doing fine. Thanks for playing that song. It's the first time I've ever heard it on the radio.
Oh, my God. When you listen, when you're by yourself and listen, put your headphones on. Oh, my God. I was in another zone, man.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it would sound really good on with the headphones, because then you're going to hear all the bass frequencies.
Yes, definitely. Most definitely. It is good to hear your voice, and I hope that you're doing well today.
I'm doing very well, yeah. I'm at home, so for me, it's always nice to be at home. That's my vacation, is not being on the road.
For sure. Especially someone who has been on the road as many decades as you.
That's correct. Yeah, I first started doing, touring in the late 70s. So we're talking a good 40 years of being on the road. And by the way, when I say good, I mean it's been good. I've enjoyed it. I love what I do. But I also love being at home. So today's one of the days that I'm just doing my, it's not quite a normal day because I have a lot of other things that have to do with the release of a new record. Mm-hmm. It's pretty relaxing around here.
Well, does that mean you have things that you like to do when you're off the road at home? You know, so is there a domestic Kenny side?
Of course there is. Of course. I'm just, you know, like everybody that goes to work has their work side, and then when they get home, it's a domestic side. I'm just normal guy like everyone else in that way.
Okay. All right. So you have to take out the trash and everything.
That's correct. Yeah. Yes. Somebody's got to take it out, and it might as well be me.
Right. Exactly. Well, it's good to know that there are opportunities for you all to rejuvenate and recharge. And I believe it's been, what, 6 or 7 years since you had a project out?
I think it's been 6 years. It's been since 2015. So we're coming on 7 years because we're almost at 2022. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I never rush making albums because I just think it's one of those things that just needs to come from inside. It's got to be something that you're motivated to do and inspired. Mm-hmm. And then it takes a long time for me to actually record it and get it sounding like what you just heard.
It's beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And remind the audience, this is WFSK's Artist of the Week, and we are just thrilled to have award-winning saxophonist and songwriter Kenny G. His latest release entitled New Standards, and a couple of weeks out before the actual release date. So this is a wonderful treat. Kenny, and I thank you very much for carving us in today. And you're about to hit the road. Are you on tour with this one yet, or is it coming in December?
We start in December. I just played last weekend in Nashville with the Symphony Orchestra there, which was really fun. And so we got a chance to play some of our new songs with the full orchestra, which is beautiful, and we don't do that so often, so that was really exciting. But the main tour starts December 2nd. We start in Waukegan, Illinois. We make our way, obviously, we'll get to you at some point in Nashville, and then we end up somewhere. Where do we end up at the end of it? I'm not sure. I can't remember, but December 20th is our last date, and I'll be home on the 21st.
Okay, excellent. And when you go out, because of this being the holiday season and you have a new release, there's an awful lot for you to choose from, so the audience is going to get quite a treat, right?
Yeah, our problem is that we have a tendency to play too long. So, you know, when we have more songs to play, we usually play them, and then our set gets longer. Sometimes it can get too long, but, you know, I would always want to err on the side of giving everybody a little more music than not enough. But, yeah, we have to choose from our old songs that people have heard for years and years to Christmas songs. And then, of course, I'd like to introduce a couple of songs from the new records. So there's a lot to do, and I will figure out a good set list that should combine everything and hopefully do it in a way that's going to have a good momentum from beginning to end.
Yeah, well, when I was just glancing, at your schedule, it said Nashville, Indiana. And I was like, oh, well, no, that's not us. And the Brown County Music Center in Indiana. There is a city called Nashville, Indiana. But since you were just it's Indiana.
Oh, it's not you.
No. You were here, since you've been here once, I was like, he's coming back again. No, that's Indiana.
Oh.
Yeah, when you're on the when you're on the interstate, you see a sign, you get happy because you say, "Oh, I'm almost there," and you're not even close. It's kind of between Indiana and Illinois. And
oh, that's where we're playing. Okay, so you got. Listen, I don't want to look like I don't know what I'm talking about. Sorry about that.
Well, when I first looked at it too, I had to glance at it a couple of times. I said, that's Indiana," and because you were here. And it was kind of, I didn't know about it or hear about it until after. And I hate that, but, you know, I'm trying to get things, you know, fixed where that doesn't happen like that again. Anyway, having said that, you have went kind of, and your career, you kind of go different directions anyway and go not which way everything else goes, but you kind of have steered in your own direction. And I would say with this New Standards album, and including the music of Stan Getz, the great Stan Getz, you certainly have carved yet another Kenny G path.
I hope so, yeah. I mean, I'm really trying to always expand and do things that aren't exactly the things I've done in the past. Mm-hmm. Of course, we want to grow, but you also don't want to... For me, I like artists that grow more slowly. I don't really like it when it's an artist takes on a huge different path that's nothing like that I've heard before. So I like the reminiscence of the past, but also looking towards something new and innovative. And I like this album because it reminds me of the old style of ballads, which were made in the 50s and 60s, but it's still new and modern, and so I think it has a nice combination of the old and the new.
Yeah, it does, and I will tell you, and very, very extremely relaxing, to the music buyers and listeners, if you are tied up in knots, this is the one to untie you. just put it on, and you're.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm just serious, because I was like, man, I could do this. You know, I mean, just it's just really the most beautiful selections and instrumentation, and you have just done a superb job.
Thank you.
You just really have just laid this out so perfect. And how long did it take you once you were in the studio and working with your team? How long did it take you to put this together? Because this is, you know, quite a bit.
Yeah, probably I'd say 2 or 3 years of working on it. Yeah, because it takes a long time once you lay something down. I have to live with it, and I have to see if I really like exactly how it's going down. It's not something I would make a quick decision on. And then after I live with it, then I'm sure I would want to make a few changes, which you do. Then you got to live with those changes. So if you multiply that by the 11 songs that you have on the record, it really does take years for me to feel like I've done my very, very best and really looked at it enough times to think that this is something that I could have out there and could live with forever, because once you do release something, it is forever.
Yeah, truly. And, you know, I noticed that as the ebbs and flows in this genre, that, you know, everybody was doing up-tempo. And I would tell the promoters and the labels, I need to slow the train down a little bit. And no one was really doing any ballads or any slower releases, because we can't go 1,000 miles an hour 24 hours a day, because we're a 24/7 operation. And so I'm glad that you've given me an opportunity to interject some of these cuts and keep the solid jazz theme going throughout the night and day here at the station.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate that. I couldn't agree more with the way you said it. I Of course, I love the up-tempo stuff because it definitely gives musicians more of a chance, let's say, to show off their mechanics and their technique. Mm-hmm. But I believe that you can do that even within the ballad. There's a lot of things that are happening within these songs that I think show, mm-hmm. The dexterity and all the practice time that I put in. But it doesn't have to be something that does get you in that up-tempo, maybe frantic feeling, which a lot of up-tempo songs do.
Yeah.
I always believe that there weren't enough of those kind of ballads that were made really specifically with the whole vibe. Like, I like to keep the vibe the same. So when you put my record on song number one and you play it through song number 11,
mm-hmm.
you're going to have a feeling and a mood that's going to be consistent. And I really enjoy when records do that. So that's the way I like to make my records.
Well, I'm glad. And that's why we have most of your collection here in our collection.
Thank you. You know what you're getting.
Yeah, I do. And, we do hits and cuts, but, you know, our library collection here is for some artists is extensive from the beginning of their career to the present with several of the artists, and you're one of them, so we are just really happy. Oh, you're welcome. And your Christmas projects as well. And I think that the Miracle the holiday albums that you did are just They're classics every year. How does that make you feel, Kenny, that you made a lifetime Christmas album just every year, you know?
Well, I'm honestly really proud of it because I set out to make a record that was going to be something that would last the test of time.
Sure.
And it would be the arrangements that would be something that you can listen to over and over again, and it's not something that would sound good on a Tuesday night in the year 2001, but won't sound good on a Thursday night in 2021. You know, it needs to sound good all the time. So how do you make an arrangement that's going to stand the test of time? Well, it has to be really a classic mm-hmm. arrangement, and then the melody has to be played in just the right way mm-hmm. to where it's not too nuanced, because then all of a sudden it's got too much. It's not enough of the melody. It's got too many nuances and too many licks in it. So you've got to play it, solid, but then not boring. So how do you do all that? And that's something I think we did very well with Miracles, and I'm really proud of that album. So yeah, when people tell me it's been part of their Christmas for decades, I go, wow, great. That makes me feel fantastic.
Most definitely. You know, there's just those certain iconic songs that you simply must hear, you know, Nat King Cole and this and that. You know, you must hear them every year, Donny Hathaway, or It's Just Not Christmas. And, you know, yours certainly does fall in to that category. That is for sure a part of your signature sound. Who, are you your own music director, or you are you the only person that, you know, guides it, or, you know, give me an idea, like Team Kenny consists of what?
Well, that's a good question. Well, it really depends. Like, for example, on the New Standards record, this latest one, it's just me, basically. I mean, there are people that are part of it. Like, I have worked with some great keyboard players
mm-hmm.
and the great, you know, they're bass players, drummers, but, I mean, I'm directing everybody on what I want.
Mm-hmm.
We're listening back. All the decisions are really mine to make, how the string arrangements are going to go. I mean, I have a great string orchestrator named Bill Ross who writes these beautiful charts. But at the end of the day, I listen to him and make my comments, and I'm the one that signs off on it. So, yeah, pretty much I would say it's mainly a one-man operation in that sense, that when you hear what you hear, it's really me tweaking and doing all my little things in the studio that I do all alone. And when I make the decision, it's really not really a group decision on whether something sounds good. It's just whether I think it does. And if I think it does, then that's the end of it.
So you are gifted in multiple ways then. No wonder it's your decision.
Well, I always felt like it should be, I wanted things to have my own sound to them. So I just felt like the best way to do that was probably not listen too much to other music, not try to be anything like what I would hear. Let's say I'm listening to the radio and people are playing a certain vibe. Like, I don't want to listen too much because I don't want that vibe to somehow seep into my songwriting.
Right.
So I try not to listen too much so that when I'm in the studio doing my thing and I find things that sound good to me, they're just coming from an organic place that that's just mine, so that when I release my music, it's going to sound different than anyone else's because I don't spend a lot of time really trying to fit in.
Well, and you know, I'm so glad you said that, because I don't really listen to other stations, and because I am programming and directing this one, and I don't want to, I don't care what XM is doing. I don't care what they're doing over in wherever. I don't care, because I'm not trying to emulate that. I don't want to accidentally. So I completely understand what you have said, because it just makes a difference when it, so to me, you're kind of sort of on a musical mission.
Yeah, I that's really true, and I think this is a good thing, that if anyone wanted to take anything from my philosophy of life, is that, you know, if you really just kind of don't look to the outside world for their approval, because it's really filled with people that are really just thinking about themselves. I mean, we all really just think about ourselves mostly in this world. So I'm trying to take care of me. You're trying to take care of you. So if you're looking to me to give you the feedback that you want to do the creative thing that you're trying to do, you should be looking inside more. Sure, I'll give you feedback if I can. But the main thing is, look inside, and if you feel great about it, that's the most important thing. And that's how I look at my music that way. I don't look for other people to give me the thumbs up. I'm very fortunate that whatever seems to come out of my own little personal lair down in my studio, the world seems to like. So I'm very lucky that way. But it really is coming from me, and so somehow there's a connection between what's coming out of my heart and what seems to touch people around the world. And you know, I'm one of those lucky guys that I'm lucky that happens, and I don't take that lightly. And so that's why I pay much attention to keep that going and not try to do anything that I think is going to be popular or sell a lot. I just try to do the things that are creatively what I want, and I think that's why I have such a nice connection with people.
Yeah, well, and I would say, because I know the times that I have run into Vail Johnson, he just is like, whatever he says, I mean, he is like, I trust him, Sharon. I mean, just, and you and he have worked together for a long time, but, you know, I know that he has said such wonderful things about just being, you know, with you and the playing and the whole nine. It's been fabulous hearing the stories.
Well, I'm glad. Yeah, Vail, a great bass player, lives in Nashville. And we've been playing together over 30 years.
Oh,
and
wow.
Just he's a real hard worker. He tries really hard. He's really a proficient player. I mean, he plays great. He's got great chops. He's got great stage presence. He's very, very supportive on stage, and he's always, I mean, he's fun to watch, and he plays great solos that are very energetic and very impressive. So I'm lucky that I have a player like that in my band, and all the other guys I would just say the same accolades to on their respective instruments.
Yeah. Well, who else is in the band?
Well, my keyboard player's name is Robert Damper, and we went to high school together and played in our high school band, so we've been together since the 70s, and so that's pretty special right there. And he's just a really, he's a great player, and he's a jazz player, and so it's great because we get a chance to really vibe on the more traditional jazz nuances that we can put together. My guitar player's name, John Raymond. He's from Seattle. He's been with me for almost 40 years. Percussionist Ron Powell is one of those guys that's probably the most sought after percussionist around, and I'm lucky that he's with me, and we've been together again 30 plus years, and his solos are always standing ovations, and people literally forget that it's my concert once he starts playing a solo, which is great. It's just great. And my drummer Danny Bejarano is he's got the toughest job in the band, because holding down that rhythm and laying down that groove is really, really tricky, and he catches every little nuance that I want, and he does just a great job of making everything sound just right.
Well, I can tell you that you all know each other well and trust each other, because the sound is just superb. And, Kenny, I know I'm pressing your time and everything, because you have to do your domestic duty.
Yeah, you reminded me, huh? Thanks.
Well, I just want to ask you one more question before we go, and then I'm done. And I know I'm pressing, but Stan Getz, what does he mean to you?
Well, Stan Getz, for those that are listening that don't know who Stan Getz is, Stan Getz was one of the jazz masters that did his thing in the 50s and 60s. Now, Stan Getz was the guy that brought bossa nova music to the world stage. He did these things with these Brazilian players, and the music just became immensely and immediately popular around the world. So he's really responsible for bossa nova being so well received and well known, and that's happened in the 60s. And Stan Getz has a sound that's so beautiful on his tenor sax. His nickname is literally The Sound, because he has this beautiful tone that no one else ever had and never has had. So, well, I listen a lot to his music, and so what I did on this record, since he's not alive anymore, what I did was I found some notes that Stan Getz had played. Now, this may sound technical, but I took those notes and I changed all the notes, and I changed the notes and changed the phrasing, but it's still his notes and his sound. And I made a melody with it and created a song, and it's called Legacy. And that song and I, so Stan Getz and I are doing a duet that, of course, he never played. And I took it upon myself to think that this was something cool to do. I still think it's cool to do. Stan Getz, the estate and the family love it. I'm sure the jazz purists are not going to love it, because they have a protective feeling over some of the music of the past. But I still think it's something really innovative, and also my way of paying homage to one of the jazz greats. And I think the song is beautiful, and I think he would be proud of it.
Well, it does introduce his music and everything to generations who may not even ever know. I mean, I don't think there's anything at all wrong with that. So, how else or generationally are folks going to know? If somebody's in the grave, they're not going to get up. I mean, and the way... Kenny, there's so much out here to choose from now, and the way it is that, they may never come encounter that, so I love it. Do your thing.
Thank you. I'd say, one of my motivations was to introduce my audience to somebody that they may not know, and somebody that was a big influence on me, and somebody that I still enjoy every day. I listen to my Stan Getz records. I do, almost every single day of my life, because I just love his sound and his phrasing, and it's just beautiful. So anyway, I'm hoping that people will go, Wow, that's Stan Getz. Let me look into some more music by Stan Getz, and hopefully his catalog may be seeing a resurgence. I'm hoping the song will be very popular. And, it's, to be quite honest, the negative feedback that I'm just sure the jazz purists are going to give will just further fuel the interest in the song, which I think is a good thing. Yeah, unfortunately for them, they're going to come out thinking of one thing, and they're going to actually be doing me a favor.
I know that X has given me a message. What is it? They have a relationship, X? Kenny G and Kanye? What is that?
Oh, you the Kenny G Kanye? Yeah, man, we're friends. We worked on music together. I was on his last record. And so, lucky me. Yeah, very, very lucky to be able to associate with somebody that's that creative. And I enjoyed my time with him. He's a really nice person.
Well, lucky him, too, you know?
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I'm just saying, you know, you have 50 years in, you know. To me, it's like, okay, whatever. Because you know, you have decades ahead. But, Kenny, thank you so much. And remind the audience to be sure to check out New Standards, Kenny G's latest release, coming out officially the first week of December. Kenny, thank you so much, and I want to wish you a very joyous and happy Thanksgiving coming up next week.
Oh, thank you very much. Same to you, same to all the listeners, and all my best. See you guys out on the road.
Okay, thank you so much. That's Kenny G. He is this week's Artist of the Week, and, you know I had a time crunch. I just stretched, baby. I stretched. I know they don't email me and tell me I was over. You know, I know Cat is getting ready to hit it. He is going to be back to back and to get him. There's like layers to Kenny G.